Welcome to Bellingham Technical College's Money Smarts Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Benoit. Each episode, we'll talk with BTC students, staff, community professionals, and financial experts about financial literacy and wellness, all to help listeners navigate resources in the community and empower themselves financially. Today, we are here with two guests, the first of whom is Jody Litt, a Money Smarts financial wellness mentor. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Excellent, excellent. And our guest today is Susan Burke. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Matt.
Great. So first of all, what program are you in at BTC, Jody?
I started taking classes here last summer in kind of continuing ed, so a mishmash of different topics that I'm exploring. I had a career change at the end of 2017, and I've come to BTC to explore, you know, what the next career part of my career might look like. And in the process of enrolling in those courses, I learned about the Money Smarts Mentor opportunity, and I was immediately drawn. You know, it's actually funny. Within 5 minutes, I had sent Cheryl, who's the program lead, I had sent her my resume and my references and the application. That was how much I believed in what the college was doing to help students. So, yeah, it's just been a great program, and I'm really happy to be a student and part of the Money Smarts program.
And for those listeners who aren't familiar, the Money Smarts program is a financial peer mentorship program on campus where BTC students can meet one-on-one with a mentor to learn about credit, budgeting, paying for college, and help answer any other money-related questions students might have. What got you interested in becoming a Money Smarts mentor?
I had a very successful business career in over 20 years with corporate America. And when I stepped away from that, I decided to take some time and really think about what my next move would be. And in exploring different classes and talking to different people, I found, and I knew this about myself, that I had a real propensity for business. Making money over the years while satisfying on a lot of levels didn't really feed a big part of me that was service-oriented. And working with the Money Smarts program allows me to give some of my wisdom and help a lot of students that, you know, I can relate to. I was that person back when I was in my early 30s. So it's been a great program, and I'm really happy to be part of it.
So tell us a little bit about your current business. I understand it is a startup.
Yeah, it's called Hand Up Homes, and it's a startup that my partner and I, who's here with me, Susan, who's here with me, that works to fill the gap between those who can afford a median-priced home in Bellingham on their own and those who would qualify for a mortgage but don't have the down payment.
So obviously both of you can answer this individually, but what were your guys' experience like when you bought your first home?
Yeah, I think I'll take that one. This is actually this backstory of how Jody and I got Hands Up started. Jody was interested in perhaps looking at some real estate investments, and I have just recently gotten my real estate license and actually own a couple of rentals here in town along with my own primary residence. And Jody was intrigued by that, so she was looking for rental property, and I just happened to over lunch one day say to her how I bought my first home, and it kind of birthed our new startup, which is I was working in Silicon Valley in the 80s, and I was making plenty of money. I was a relatively new grad, and I had absolutely no money for a down payment of a house, and homes were increasing at about 20% a year, which is not unlike how they are in Whatcom County right now. And with no way to save for a down payment, but enough money to actually buy a home and really wanting to get into the real estate market, it feels like a big hurdle that you can jump over. And once you're an owner, you're like in a club. And I really wanted to be in that club. And so I was lucky enough, my family doesn't come from money. And I was lucky enough to have some family friends who, you know, believed in me and said, hey, you know, let us help you. We'll help you with a down payment. And so we started a partnership, and it was wildly successful. It was a very straightforward deal. You know, they came in with the down payment. I made the mortgage. I had to pay them a part of the rent, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, without going into the details, we knew that it would terminate at the end of 3 years. We had agreed to that. At the end of 3 years, I had the option of either buying them out if I could, or we would end up selling the home, and then I would have enough money to then go on and buy my own home. So I like to tell the story that my first house was half a house, and that launched me into now owning I don't know, I guess I have five houses. And, you know, again, I don't come from money. My family doesn't come from money. There are ways to do it. So Jody was like, let's do that. Let's do that with people in, you know, Bellingham and Whatcom County. And I said, all right, let's do it.
In relating all of this to students here at BTC and elsewhere in the community in Whatcom County, what are some of the barriers they face in general when they're looking to purchase a home?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly why Susan and I joined forces to start Hands Up Homes, because there's quite a few of them. And if you think back to, you know, at least for me, when I think back to my parents, you know, post-World War II, there were so many resources out there, government resources, that allowed people to be able to easily finance their first home. And, it, you know, it was back in the time of everything was a 30-year mortgage. It was at the same time that, you know, you joined a company, you know, for 30 years. And fast forward to, you know, where we are now, and times are very, very different. It's a huge paradigm shift from what that was and what we have in our minds about a first home and what exists today. And the barriers are really pretty simple. They're basically about how much money the median price income is here in Whatcom County, and that's just under $52,000 is the median household income in Whatcom County versus the price of a home in Whatcom County.
Yeah, and, you know, as Jody talks about that paradigm shift, one of the other things that has happened over the course of, say, 20 years or so is that, in general, housing prices in Whatcom County have done nothing but really increase over the long haul. And the last six quarters, they've actually increased in double digits, right? So we're talking about increases annually on the to the tune of $30,000 or $40,000 a year that these houses are going up in value. And at the same time, wages aren't increasing, right? That's all of the national news right now is we're talking about flat wages. At the same time, we're talking about home prices that are increasing. So this gap, this affordability gap, is just increasing more and more and more. And as Jody had mentioned, the old social contract, the sort of post-World War II idea of, you know, you graduate college, you get a job, you buy a home, is no more.
Yeah. I mean, my grandfather, after he got out of the war, took the GI Bill and built his own house.
And that's exactly right. And, you know, and when you got out of, and the Veterans Administration still does offer low-income loans for veterans, but it isn't what it was in World War II when, you know, most of the men were veterans at that point in time, and several women too, right? So the idea is, how are we going to change, even socially here, to actually make it affordable for people to own their own homes? I'm an economist. I teach adjunct up at Western also. And one of the things that I'm terribly troubled by is that as a homeowner, I actually get to take advantage of a tax credit on the interest that I pay on my loan that non-homeowners don't get to take advantage of. So effectively, the federal government is sort of subsidizing my home ownership when a renter doesn't get that same sort of subsidy. And so when you think about how do we help these people who are interested in becoming homeowners get out of the rental market?
Obviously, with some of these barriers only becoming larger, what is your advice to students to navigate these barriers?
We talk to first-time homebuyers a lot about getting creative. Those who are willing to look at maybe a little bit bigger geographic area than the core of Bellingham, looking maybe out in the county where things might be slightly less expensive, is one good option. Those that are handy and are willing to put sweat equity into the land or home that they buy can really benefit from finding a good value relatively in the market. There's also a lot of startups like ourselves who are poised to help first-time home buyers, and a lot of resources are out there that can help first-time buyers navigate those waters and also potentially bridge the gap that we're talking about.
You know, one thing that someone who's interested in real estate, even if you don't have an agent, even if it's just a pipe dream for several years from now, is go see a banker. Bankers really become your absolute best friends in this journey. And for the most part, they want to help you out. So if you think, gee, I want to be a homeowner in a year or 2 years, it's okay to go in and talk to a banker right now and say, how much money do I need to make? Or what is my credit score? Or, you know, bankers will tell you things that, and maybe you don't want to hear it because it's sort of like in the short term, it doesn't make you as happy. It may mean less cappuccinos and that sort of thing, you know, less movies. They may tell you, don't buy a new car, you know, try to keep your debt down. But, you know, if you're planning for a long trip, and hopefully that's what the journey to homeownership looks like, then it's really prudent to understand who's going to be on my side here. And going into a banker is a great way to start that trip. And the other thing is, Jody and I don't want people to feel like it's overwhelming. I mean, just to give you a sense of when I bought my first home, so this was a long time ago, I was making $20,000 a year, and I thought that was just like, you know, I had, that was a finance degree out of a good college. I had a great first job. I felt really good about life. And my first home cost me $299,000 in Silicon Valley, right? So this is, you know, very expensive real estate in California. I owned that home for 3 years, and I sold it for $385,000. The point is, you can... You know, Jody just quoted the median price of a home in Bellingham is $444,000 right now. And if that just stops you, if that just stops you cold in your track, don't let it. Don't let it stop you cold in your track. You know, there are ways around this. I'm going to have Jody here talk about Culson homes.
So actually the median price home is $410,000.
Yeah, thanks, Jody.
Let's correct that.
Yeah.
One of the things I was thinking about is, as we're chatting here is you know, what students can do today to prepare for purchasing a home in the future. And Susan mentioned the importance of getting with a really great lender and interviewing them. You go to your bank, and hopefully you, as a student, you've been in there and worked on, you know, a budget or gotten some financial advice to sort of set up your bank account. That's a really good place to start and see if you connect with that person. And if not, go and interview some other ones. Because having your financial proverbial ducks in a row is really, really important when you enter home ownership. Making sure your credit score paints an accurate painting of your financial status is, you need to know exactly where you are in terms of a credit score, because a lender's going to be looking at that. And if you do it in advance, like Susan mentioned, you have an opportunity to clean up some of your errors or small matters that can really skew how a financial institution might look at you when they're evaluating whether or not to lend money to you. And garnering a way to save for a down payment is really important when you're buying a home. And there's something out there called, you know, private mortgage insurance, which if you put less than 20% down on a home, you're actually paying insurance to the lender to make sure that you're going to be good on your money. And so getting a nest egg together where you have 20% to be able to put that down is a great goal for students as they're looking ahead into the future.
So what are some of the main differences between renting a home versus owning a home?
The differences between renting and owning are vast and huge, and I think a lot of people miss that. They may see the financial advantage, but they miss how much actually goes into being an owner of a home. The advantages are that, you know, not just the financial commitment, but also in terms of the money and responsibility you put into a home is really, really great. Thinking about when you're renting, you don't think about, well, how's the lawn getting mowed? And what if the water heater breaks? All I do is call my landlord. Or what if, you know, my heat bill is really big? I mean, those are things that you just turn over to somebody else. When you own the home, those are your responsibility, taking care of the lawn, making sure that if a water heater breaks, that you have some, you know, an emergency fund in place to help get you through that time. Susan mentioned the credit that you get back as a homeowner. That's one of the huge financial benefits of being an owner versus being a renter. And of course, when you rent, your money is going to line somebody else's pocket, the owner of that home. But when you buy, you're actually, you know, you're creating wealth for yourself that you can utilize in your future.
If for a lot of people who might be listening to this, a lot of students, it might seem like a pipe dream to purchase and own their own home in the future. But what can they start doing today to make that a reality?
Yeah, we're really glad you asked, because there are a lot of things you can do. As Susan mentioned, of course, going and meeting with your banker and starting that process to just get clear on what that might look like, even if you're not ready. That's a really great first step. Being aware that there's predatory lenders out there, that they're not all what you read online might not be what you actually experience. Just being aware of that is an important piece. Budgeting and knowing how to budget your money is something that we talk about a lot in Money Smarts program. Becoming a really aware of your income and what that money goes to, where you're spending your money every single month, is definitely the first step of knowing where it is. And Mint.com has a great budgeting tool on their app that we use a lot in the Money Smarts program, and we really recommend that first time or people preparing for their first home become solid at budgeting their money so that they know where it's going to go and tracking your spending. And there's other sites like LearnVest is a great site to educate and empower people starting out to reach their goals. There's a lot of great information on that site to help people get prepared for that point where they are ready to purchase their first home.
There's also first-time home buyer classes that you can take.
It's offered through Culshin Land Trust offers free home buyer education classes. They're open to the public and they're held once a month. They're free, but pre-registration is required. And we really recommend that potential buyers take a course to dive deeper into what we've been talking about here.
It's not at all unusual for banks to offer those classes. Other realtors will offer those classes. You can see them. So, you know, the more that you just immerse yourself in the language, it's off-putting sometimes with how much the vernacular, just the language of the whole thing, can be incredibly confusing. And it isn't anything that you would expect that you would understand after hearing it just once. You know, so even going back and talking to multiple bankers, going to multiple first-time homebuyer classes and immersing yourself in that, I think the human brain needs to hear something five times before it lands. And that's if it's a comfortable, you know, an easy thing to learn. And this isn't necessarily that easy. So I would say educating yourself and talking to people.
Now, how soon should students start saving for a down payment if they're looking
yesterday?
Yeah.
And when we talk about solid financial planning, it having that bucket of money set aside for, you know, for emergencies as they come up, but also for your future. That's where we recommend that people start setting aside. It doesn't have to be a lot, but just setting aside a little bit, getting in the habit of setting aside money so that when they do go to purchase the home, they're prepared to at least put a dent into that down payment.
Now, you guys mentioned the Culshin Land Trust classes. What other resources are there in the community that can help first-time homebuyers? Is there anything that the Money Smarts program can do to help in any way?
The Money Smarts program is great because it's really getting students thinking about financial wellness. And that's sometimes, I think, the first step in this is just getting people, it's like Susan said, getting the mind used to thinking about not looking at this as a child anymore, where you're dependent on other people, but looking at yourself as the adult in the room and trying to get to that goal of home ownership. So, you know, in the Money Smarts program, there's a lot of time spent with students mentoring them about budgeting, about preparing for the future, about a credit score and how to improve that and how to make decisions that allow you to have a, you know, the kind of life that you want to have and what the trade-offs are for some of those decisions that we want to make in our youth. One of the other great resources out there, we mentioned Culshin, but Habitat for Humanity is a great place for a lot of people to start with their first home, especially if they're willing to put a lot of sweat equity into that ownership. They're another great resource for students to look at.
And both Culshin and Habitat, those are examples of places where you can learn things without committing. You know, that idea of, oh, I don't want to call Habitat because I'm not really ready to make a commitment to Habitat. You don't have to be, right? You just call them up and find out what they have to offer and see if any of that sort of resonates with you. I think speaking to people about your dreams is really, really important. You can call a realtor, you know, you can get in touch with Jody and I to say, you know, how do you realize these things? I think what Jody said about you're not a kid anymore and you're sort of stepping into the adult world. And one of the huge lessons that I learned, and it was how I was able to get into my first home, was asking for help also. You know, I mean, when you ask for help and you're dependable and you're accountable and the people that, you know, you're asking for help know that, it goes a long way to getting you to your dream.
That's an excellent point. Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Jody, for being here.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. And thanks for listening to this episode of the BTC Money Smarts podcast. Be sure to check out all our episodes on the BTC website. They are loaded with stories, tips, tricks, and strategies for financial literacy. This podcast is produced by Cheryl Kennedy with music courtesy of bensound.com. I'm Matt Benoit. We'll see you next time.